वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारा
रीडिंग फ्रॉम फर्स्ट कैंटो सेवन चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 10।
सुत उवाच आत्मा रामश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रंथा अपि उरुक्रमे कुर्वन्त्यहैतु किं भक्तिं इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः। सूत
ट्रांसलेशन पर्पज बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस इज भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की। ऑल डिफरेंट वैरायटीज ऑफ आत्मा रामस दोज हू टेक प्लेजर इन आत्मा अ स्पिरिट सेल्फ एस्पेशली दोज एस्टैब्लिश्ड ऑन द पाथ ऑफ सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन दो फ्रीड from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Purport by Divine Grace. It's a very long purport. We are going to read only one paragraph. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atmaram Shloka very vividly before his chief devotee Srila Sanatana Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the Shloka, namely Atmarama, Munaya, Nirgrantha, Api, Cha, Urukrama, Kurvanti, Ahaituki, Bhaktin, Ittam Bhutagunaha and Harihi. According to the Vishwaprakash Sanskrit Dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atmarama, which are as follows. Brahman, the Absolute Truth, body, mind, endeavor, endurance, intelligence and personal habits. The word Munayaha refers to those who are thoughtful, those who are grave and silent, ascetics, persistent, mendicants, sages, saints. The word Nirgrantha conveys these ideas, one who is liberated from nescience, one who has no connection with scriptural injunction, that is, one who is freed from the obligation of the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate, urchins, etc. who have no connection with regulatory principles. A capitalist and also one who is penniless. It's called as Nirgrantaha. We are in the 7th chapter of Bhagavatam, entitled The Son of Drona Punished. The sages, Shaunakadi Rishis, have asked a very important question to Suta Goswami, which was very vividly and very interestingly discussed yesterday by Radha Krishna Prabhu. And this question is a very vital question for all spiritualists. And it also has a clue to proving devotional service to be the ultimate path amongst all the paths. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is considered a very great threat for the Mayavadis, are impersonalists. Because generally the Mayavadis consider the bhakti literatures, which are the Upasana Khanda, to be meant for the sentimental people who do some kind of worship for some gods, asking for some material benefits. So it is considered to be meant for the common masses. But Srimad Bhagavatam is called as the Paramahamsa Samhita, meant for the first class people. And within Srimad Bhagavatam, this question which is being asked by Saunakaya Rishi and being answered by Suta Goswami gives a clear-cut picture of how devotional service is the king of all the different parts of self-realization. It stands supreme. We will see how. Generally, the people of this world are very interested in increasing material opulence, in increasing name and fame, and accumulating possessions. And this is a common thing that can be seen in this world. That's why Lord Krishna uses in Bhagavad Gita also two words, Indriya Rama, Atma Rama. Both words are used. Indriya Rama, Alhayur Indriya Rama, Mogham Parthasa Jivati, Krishna says. Evam pravartitam chakram, nanuvartayati gayah, aghayur indriya ramo, mogham parthasa jivati. Indriya Rama means one who delights in sense enjoyment. One who is very enthusiastic in material affairs, in counting money, in engaging his jnanendriyas and karmendriyas actively in the progress of dharmartha kama. Such a person is actually, of course, if one is performing dharma for the sake of performing yajna, which brings about rains, and then again it's a cycle. Evam pravartitam chakra, Krishna says. If one is following the injunctions of the Vedas for getting material enjoyment, he is not condemned. But if one gives up this fourfold cycle of annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavah, yajnat bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavah, Krishna explains that. And then he says, if one discards the scriptures, as he explains in the 16th chapter, ya shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kama karata, and simply engages in sense gratification, he is called as an Indriya Rama. So Indriya Ramas are generally working very hard for various reasons. Their mind is such that it's always in a chanchal state, in a flickering state, always. And they work for various things. They want to impress others. They want to gain name and fame. They want to go to different places and see what is there. They want to meet different people, important people, and also become important. They want to do something which will draw the attention of everyone. So there is a kind of great eagerness for activity amongst the Indriya Ramas in this world. With their Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas, they indulge in the world totally. On the other hand, Atma Ramas are just the opposite. They are completely inactive. Instead of talking in an abstract way, we can take an example of Atma Rama. Like when Maharaj Yadu went to the forest, there he found the great Avadhuta Brahmana. So he asked the Avadhuta Brahman, the whole world is so busy. Outside you see all of them working so hard, accumulating wealth and enjoying material pleasures. And in this way people are working so hard, and I see that you have left all work and you are here in the forest, but still your face appears to be very happy. You seem to be very happily situated. You are grave, you are silent, but still you are expert, you are learned, and you seem to be very satisfied and happy. How is it? Not having any family, not having any relationships, not having any wealth, not working hard to earn name and fame, having given up all the engagements of the world. Now here you are in the forest. How are you so peaceful and so happy? What is the secret of your happiness? He has asked him. Of course, the Avadhuta Brahman explained to him many things. But Atma Ramas are like that. They have no reason to work hard because they are internally satisfied. Krishna says that when a person can give up work, he says, Yatva Atma Ratireva Syat, Atma Truptascha Manavaha, Atmaniyeva Chasantushta, Tasya Karyam Navidyate. He says, Atmarati, when one becomes Atmarati, satisfied in one's own self. And Prabhupada writes about this Atmarati in another verse also. Yonta Sukontara Aramas, Tatanta Jyotirevayah. What is the second line? Sayogi Brahma Nirvanam, Brahma Bhuto Dhigachati. There he says the word Anta is used 3 times. Yonta Sukontara Aramas, Tatanta Jyotirevayah. Anta, 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 3 times it's used. What is this antakaran? This verse means, yuanta sukantararama means, one who derives joy only in activities within. And he delights only within, in the soul, and not in the external activities of the world. Such a person, he will attain the Brahma Nirvana, Brahma Bhutodi Gacchati. It is said. So, what does it mean? It is said there is a centrifugal consciousness and centripetal consciousness. Centrifugal consciousness means allowing one's mind to chase after the external sense objects of the world by again and again getting attracted to the objects of the world. Mirage-like pressures of the world. And simply chasing after them again and again. There is a kind of struggle going on in everyone's heart. The other day, very beautifully, Raj Sepra was explaining, this world is filled with chamars, he was telling. What is a chamar? Chamar is a person who deals with skin, isn't it? For him, it doesn't matter whether it's a tiger or a lion or a fox or a jackal, whatever. He is looking for only skin. What skin can I get? Deer skin or tiger skin? He wants only skin. He looks at the animals only with the idea of getting the skin. Similarly, he was telling, in this world, everyone is attracted to the superficial skin of others. Because once you remove the skin, there is no beauty in this world. So, the centrifugal consciousness means, everyone is looking at one another in this world, trying to become attracted, trying to get some pleasure. So, that centrifugal consciousness is what makes our mind torn to pieces. Like, you know, the mind is supposed to be completely fixed in concentration on the Supreme. But one is unable to fix and one allows it to get completely scattered away, here and there, because of the external centrifugal consciousness. Centripetal consciousness means one's attraction is within. One is acting on the platform of soul. That is actually the Atmaram. And there is a kind of, like even in science you study, there is a kind of tug of war going on between centripetal force and centrifugal force. So, it is said one is fit to become a sannyasi when the centripetal consciousness exceeds the centrifugal consciousness. Then one is liberated. Then one can take sannyas. So, in our spiritual life also we can see, there is an external attraction, there is a desire to advance spiritually, internally. There's a tug of war going on. So, Atmaram is that person whose centripetal consciousness has exceeded his centrifugal consciousness. He is internally situated. Yonta Sukontara Aramas. And that is why Krishna also says, Bahya Sparsheshu Asakta Atma Nindati Atmani Yat Sukham. That Bahya Sparsha is actually attraction for sex life. Bahya Sparsheshu Asakta Atma Nindati Atmani Yat Sukham. There are many pleasures in this world. And the topmost of all the pleasures is the attraction for the opposite sex. And that's what Krishna clears is Bahya Sparsha, Sparsheshu, Asaktatma. Asakta means he is not attached. He can give it up. Vindati, he delights Atmani Yat Sukham. Only in the self he delights. That's why he can give up the external thing. Then he says, Sir, Yogi. Second line he says, Bahya Sparsha Asakta Atma Vindati Atmani Yat Sukham. Brahmavid, Brahmani Stitaha. He uses the word Brahmavid. So, Brahmavid means he is the knower of supreme, Brahma. Brahmani sthitaha is situated in the Brahman. So, before talking about somebody being a devotee, we certainly have to talk about the Atmaramas who are not devotees, who are situated in Brahman. Their mind is fixed on the Brahma Jyoti. Yesterday, Prabhuji spoke a very elaborate lecture. Some people, because the lecture was a little long, they felt they got lost a little bit. They didn't know where the subject going. He gave various arguments. So I would like to succinctly present what Prabhuji was talking yesterday in about 5 minutes about the state of Atmaram. So just now we are discussing about only one aspect of Atmaram, which is the Kautukatha. Kautuk means inquisitive. So Atmaram is not at all inquisitive about the things of the world. He is not curious. Like we can see when we are going in a rickshaw, people peep out and see who is going in the road, isn't it? And people walking on the road peep in and see who is in the rickshaw. So there is a curiosity, always. Everyone extends their neck and wants to watch out for things in the world, isn't it? There is a curiosity. Why there is curiosity? Because there is craving in the senses for looking for some new things. Because we are ignorant, we want to look for something which will give us some pleasure or happiness in this world. We are trying for that with all the senses. Whereas Atmaram is one, he is done with it. He is finished with the material world. There is nothing more for him there. And his mind is fixed in Brahman. That is also explained. It is said, what is that famous verse in Bhagavad Gita? I think it comes in the 5th chapter, I think. No dvijet prapya cha apriyam. What is that verse? Na prahrishyet priyam prapya. When he gets something desirable, he doesn't rejoice. Na udvijet prapya cha apriyam. When he gets something that is unpleasant, he doesn't cry. Sthara buddhi rasam moodho is never bewildered at all. And then it is a Brahmani, Brahmavid Brahmani sthitaha. He is situated in Brahman. So, he never becomes a sammuda, which means bewildered. A person like Shukadeva Goswami, who was a Brahmanyani, he was never bewildered about the happinesses and distresses in this world. Because they are finished with it. They never act in reference to the material world at all. Because the general conditioned souls, they need the other living entities for that pleasure. Like for example, a man needs a woman for enjoyment, a man needs a house to protect himself because he has fear. A man needs money in order to be sure that when there are problems, he will be able to sort them out with money. A man needs the society because in the society one tries to impress others and gets encouragement from others. So one needs to be in society, one needs relatives, one needs all these things. One is fearful of the enemies, one is happy with those who give gratification to one's senses. So these are all consciousness when it is scattered away in the external world. But Atmarama has come to a stage where he has completely withdrawn himself from all these things. He doesn't care for anyone. And he doesn't have to take the trouble to behave like that. Because it is very natural for him. That is why the word avadhuta is used. Avadhuta means one who has no external consciousness at all. It hardly, you know, whether the people praise him or people scold him, people throw stones at him. And these things don't touch him at all. He's completely inert to these things. Like, you know, when somebody tells bad about us, how immediately we feel affected. That pinches us. And that lasts for a long time. And doesn't get erased very easily. But Atmarama is a person who doesn't have to worry about others. He is internally satisfied. So that is one of the states. So Shukadeva Goswami was also such Atmaram. He was not a Kautuk. He was telling that point yesterday. Kautuk, he was not inquisitive about, okay, let me also find out what is there in that scripture, Bhagavatam. He had nothing more to hear because they are finished with all the external world. And they are also not eager to read scriptures or read anything and give classes or reform the society or anything like that. Atmaram will not do that. Why? because there is nothing more to be known. They know that thing, after knowing which there is nothing more to be known. That's the definition of Brahman. If one knows it, that's it. Nothing more to be known. So, that's why they don't make any endeavor to read more or learn more or anything like that. Because whenever you do an activity, there is some purpose behind the activity. There is a motive behind it. Like for example, we want to preach and convert others and transform others. Why? Because we think that others are fallen, they are suffering. But Atmaram doesn't see that only. He sees everyone is Brahman. Everyone is pure. And he doesn't see Maya at all. So, he cannot preach. He cannot preach. In fact, he won't speak also. He is a Mauni. He supposed to, Muni and Mauni are synonymous. Both. He will not speak only. Because by speaking, he is engaging in one of the Karmendriyas. Which is also Karmendriya speech. By speech one can be entangled. So he won't speak also. He will be a Muni. And actually he will not hear also. Because hearing is also one of the senses. Using the ears to hear. Because once you hear it, then you will contemplate. With your intellect, with your mind. So he would not hear also. So, Atmaramas would not like to hear anything more. They know the truth and they are fixed in it. That's all. So, that is why this question was arisen by the sages. Shukadeva Goswami was a Brahmanyani. He was Atmaram. He would not have used his Jnanendriyas or Karmendriyas to hear or contemplate or do anything or to speak to others. Naturally, he must ask questions if he spoke to his father. Atmaramas are never supposed to speak. They are supposed to be Mauni, fixed in the truth. And they are not Kautuk. They are not interested in being inquisitive about anything else. They are fixed. And they are self-satisfied. And he also said many other things like, you know, is it because of, you know, being an ideal religious son, just to please the father he heard? That also is not likely. Why? Because right in the first canto we find, as soon as he was born, he left his father and ran away to the forest. If he can disobey his father that time, then why should he again obey the father by coming and hearing from him? There is no reason. Did he want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Because in Bhagavatam it is said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, it is said, one should hear Bhagavatam every day. Did he hear Bhagavatam because of that? No. Because if somebody is fixed in Brahman, they will only accept what is pratikul, what is anukul to Brahma, Brahman, Brahma Chintan or focus on Brahman. If anything else is to be heard, they will not hear. Bhagavatam may say Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya and some of the scripture may also say Nityam. But they are not going to pay heed to anything. They will only take those things which will be anukul for Brahma Chintan. And what is anukul? Keeping mourn and not reading anything, not talking to anyone, not indulging in the world, and keeping oneself vivikta desh, keeping oneself aloof from all activities and simply meditating on Brahman, devoid of qualities, devoid of attributes, devoid of personality, imperceptible, unknowable, which cannot be spoken in words. So, one focuses on such a Brahman aspect of the Lord. So, Shukadeva Goswami as a Brahmanyani was fixed on that. So, he didn't have any necessity to follow the father, nor did he have to follow the injunction of the scripture, nor was he a Kautuk, nor was he eager to engage his senses. And he was actually fixed in Brahman. He was not a practitioner. He was not a sadhaka, who was not very sure of his ultimate goal. So he was trying another path. No. He was a fully liberated soul and fixed on Brahman. And we said in one of the earlier classes how even though there were some women taking bath in the lake, they saw Shukadeva Goswami and they didn't put on their dresses, isn't it? When Vyasadeva came, they put on their dresses. And Vyasadeva asked them, they told them, Vyasadeva asked, I am an old man and he is a young boy. Practically naked and avadhuta walking, and you didn't put on your dresses when you saw him. So they were saying, your son knows not the difference between man and woman. Because he sees only the soul, which is a liberated stage. Shukadeva was in that state. So, even after being in such a state, the question arose in the mind of the sages. If he was fixed in Brahman in that way, and he was sukham akshayam ashnute. Sukham akshayam means akshaya, means that happiness which never deteriorates. He was experiencing that happiness in Brahman. Such a person, why should he give up the contemplation on Brahman and become eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? That was the question posed by the sages. A very brilliant question. Yesterday's class was whole discussion on this point. And I only took the Kautuk little elaborately today. But otherwise the other points were elaboration of this. So these are very great discussions amongst the devotees and even amongst the jnanis also. These are great discussions because these are very serious questions. Of course, the Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses, one may read them. But unless one can appreciate this question, and unless one can know the answer to this question, one cannot appreciate Bhagavatam to its fullest extent. Because Shukadeva was not an ordinary karma yogi or a jnana yogi or ashtanga yogi or a practitioner who is in the yoga or rukshu, in the practitioner stage. He was not an ordinary person. He was a perfect being. So such a person has no reason to give up his current engagement and take to the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was also telling, Bhagavatam study means it would involve hearing 18,000 verses. Actually, this type of Atmaramas, they are very cautious not to poke their nose into any affairs that will entangle them. The material world is such an entangling world. Even by saying something, one can get entangled. Sometimes you go and ask a person, we have any trouble doing that work? And then you say, can you also do this work for me? Immediately they will want you to share the work. You understand? Just like Yayati was going in the forest. Devayani had fallen into a well, So he wanted to just help her by, giving his hand. As soon as he got her out of the pit, she came out and what did she say? Oh Natha, you are my Lord. Now you marry me. Yeah. And then he married her and the whole samsara started after that. So, in this world, even a small act can entangle a person in this world. So, what to speak of Shukadeva hearing the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses for such a long time from his father. Why should he hear? And that is why in response to that question, here he is saying, Atma Ramas Cha Munayaha. The word Cha is very important. Even the Atma Ramas, he says, those who are self-satisfied in their heart, who have no activity to do in this world, even such personalities, they become captivated by the divine qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He says, Ittam Bhuta Guno Harihi. Lord's qualities are so great that they even charm the hearts of the Atmaramas. Atmarama cannot be charmed by anything of this material world. No glittering illusion can charm him. And no attractive thing of this world can put him into action. Nothing of this world can break his mouth or gravity or silence. Nothing of this world can attract him. But the spiritual aspect which is explained here, the personality of Godhead Krishna, his qualities are so great that it melts the hard heart of even the Atmaramas. The Atmaramas have actually a very hard heart. Why? Because they see, as it is said, na priyet, na prahrishyet priyam prapya, na udvijet prapya chapriyam. They are supposed to be equipoised with everyone and everything. They don't see difference between man and woman. They don't see difference between child and adult. They don't see difference between even a tree and an animal. They see only the souls everywhere. And the kind of austerities they do is also very high in order to detach themselves from the material elements and to always fix themselves in the platform of Brahman and Atma. So, they have practically no emotion. They are in the, the Shushupti stage. In the night when you sleep in the night, when you go to Shushupti stage, we are in deep ignorance of who we are, what is my identity, and where am I sleeping. But the Samadhi is a stage which is a fully awakened stage, but very similar to Shushupti. The difference between Shushupti and Samadhi is, in Shushupti also we don't know. We are in deep sleep, who we are, we don't know. who are my relatives, we don't know. Which house am I living? What is my external identity? We don't know those things. So, in ignorance, we are in deep sleep. Whereas samadhi stage is also like deep sleep, but it's a fully awakened spiritual consciousness. So, people, personalities like Shukdeva are in that stage of samadhi always. So, no one can put them into action, but here we find, and that is explained also how he became attracted. So, being a Brahmajnani, he had left home, and his father was running behind him. Oh, my son, he was calling. Hey, putra, he was running behind him to get his son back to home, to get him married and settle him in life. As every father thinks, my ultimate goal of life is to get my son married and have children, grandchildren. So, Vedavyasa was running after him, but Shukadeva didn't even turn back. And he went, proceeded straight into the forest, jungle. And after going to the jungle, he was peacefully sitting and focusing on Brahman, unadulterated consciousness. At that time, he heard some woodcutters who were cutting the wood and singing very beautiful songs from the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the two verses, Barha Peetam, Natavara Vapu. There is a very beautiful verse in the 10th canto which describes the beautiful form of Krishna. It says, oh, that beautiful personality of Godhead who wears a peacock feather on his head and who has a very beautiful curly locks of blackish hair, who wears a beautiful kasturi tilakam, and one who has eyes like lotus petals, and one who plays, fills the flute with his sound, he plays on the flute, that charms the hearts of all the Vrijabasis and attracts them towards him. So in this way, they were glorifying the form of Krishna. When Shukadeva heard it, he became captivated by the description of Krishna's personality. And he also sang this Ahobakiyam song. Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Prajema. Who can be more merciful than one who gave the position of mother to a demoness Putana who came to kill him by smearing her breast with poison? So when he heard it, it melted his heart. So he went and asked them, who are you? Where did you get these songs from? Who taught you? And they said, oh, we learnt it from your father only, Vedavyas. So really, then he went back home. He went and met his father. He was curious to know more about Krishna. So this is Ittam Bhuta Gunohari, Lord Krishna's qualities. And then he heard this, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he becomes a devotee. Of course, Shukadeva Goswami never becomes a devotee. He is a devotee. He is the parrot of Srimati Radharani. But he performs this leela of being a Brahmajnani and then becoming a devotee in order to show to the world that devotion service is superior to fixation on Brahman. He wants to show that. So, Brahmananda is only a drop in the ocean of Bhaktiananda. And Bhogananda we get in the material world is only a small drop of the ocean of Brahmananda. So, Prahlad Maharaj says that in 7th canto. So, if you take Bhogananda, it is one drop in the ocean of Brahmananda. And Brahmananda is one drop in the ocean of Bhaktiananda. So, that is why he was attracted to devotional service. Atma Rama Ascha Muneha. That means, although he is Atma Rama, he is satisfied in himself, he doesn't need anything external. But the devotion service is not something external. It is performed on a spiritual platform. So, Atma Ramas are in the 00 stage. From where? When they hear about devotion service, they go to the positive axis, positive ordinate. They go higher and higher, which attracts them towards the Lord. Such is the quality of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. In this way, this famous verse was spoken by Sita Goswami in response to how that Shukadeva Goswami, who was such a Brahmajnani, fixing Brahman, how he left his practice of Brahmajnan, and he took to the path of Bhakti Yoga. How he became a devotee. So that's the essential meaning of this. This verse on Atma Ramascha Muniyo. So this verse was spoken by Sarvam Bhattacharya. And spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarvam Bhattacharya. Mahaprabhu gave several explanations. First he told Bhattacharya to give explanation. He gave about 9 explanations. And Lord himself gave how many? 62? 61 explanations that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to this. After hearing that, Bhattacharya understood this Chaitanya is not an ordinary person. He is Supreme Personality himself. And then he surrendered completely to him. So this is the famous verse which was recited. That don't think Brahmajnana is ultimate. Brahmajnana is only intermediate. Like Krishna also says, Sannyasastu Mahabahu Dukkha Maaptu Mayogataha. He says, Sannyasastu Mahabahu. There are many people who take sannyas and try to fix their mind on Brahman. But Dukkha Maaptu Mayogataha. Klesho Adhikatarastesham. Avyakta Asakta Chetasam. In a non-liberated state, there are people who take to the path of Brahman and try to fix on impersonal God. And that is, Avyakta Asakta is called as Klesha. Adhikatarastesham. But then he says, Yoga Yukto Munir Brahma Nachirena Adhigachati. But one who engages in devotional service will very easily attain the ultimate goal of life, the spiritual world. Krishna also says about that in Bhagavad Gita. But that was not the case with Shukadeva Goswami, that he had difficulty focusing on Brahman. He is a neophyte Brahmavadi. He is a practicing Brahmavadi. But he is a perfected Brahmavadi. He was actually a perfected person who could focus on Brahman. But still he took to Bhakti Yoga, which shows that even the perfected Brahmavadis ultimately become attracted by the qualities of Krishna. That's the conclusion. And the Chatushkumaras became attracted by the smell of the Tulasi leaf on the feet of Lord Vishnu, and they immediately became devotees. And the fixation on Akshara Brahma, Sankshobam Akshara Jusham Abhichitta Tanvo. It is said the fixity on Brahman that became agitated. They were actually meditating on Omkar always. But after smelling the Tulasi leaf coming from, smell of Tulasi leaf coming from Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, that became agitated. They didn't want to fix on Omkar anymore. Then they started chanting Lord Narayana's names after that. They became devotees. So what to speak of ordinary people? Such a great personalities have turned from the Brahma, path of Brahma Jnana to the path of Bhakti Yoga. So this verse is a very important verse that solidly lays the foundation of the Srimad Bhagavat philosophy. The Srimad Bhagavat philosophy is based on the Ahetukim Bhaktim. Kurvanti Ahetukim Bhaktim. The difference between Atmanamas becoming devotees and people worshipping demigods, you can see there's a difference of earth and sky. People worship demigods for material benefits, but Atmaramas worship Krishna for Ahituki Bhakti. Simply to exchange love with him, love with Krishna. And he said they become devotees. So the path of devotion service should not be considered as one of the paths in the Upasana Kanda, explained as the worship of Durga, worship of Ganesh, or worship of any other demigod. Worship of the personality of Godhead is very unique and very special and is performed by the liberated souls after liberation. That's why it says Mad Bhaktir Labhate Param. First one comes to Brahmabhuta stage like Shukadeva Goswami, and then when they continue practicing Brahman stage, this kind of sudden attraction comes. So where are we now? For example, if you take a very elevated Brahmajnani is here, and so he is in one path and we are in another path. There are two paths. One is the path of devotees, another path of Brahmajnani. But there are a lot of differences. Prabhupada gives very nice examples. He says, take the path of jnanis. They don't have association of devotees. They have to live in the forest alone and meditate on Brahman. Even as neophytes, they do. And what about devotees? They are always surrounded by devotees. They have association. Isn't it? And a Brahmajnani has to endeavor to keep mown, gradually detach himself from everything, and he has to advance in his path. Very strenuous path, very difficult path. But for devotees, the path is susukam kartam abhyayam, it is said. It's very joyfully performed. Pratyakshavagamam dharnyam. One gets practical realizations in devotion service. Because one also gets Krishna's mercy, devotees' compassion, and one gets help, superior help one gets also. And then as one proceeds, then Brahmajnani comes to the stage of Brahman realization, where he perceives Brahman. He is situated in Brahmani Sthitaha. Brahmavid, Brahmani Sthitaha. He comes to that stage. And devotee comes to the stage of realizing Krishna. And devotee also becomes Antarmukh. He is constantly relishing in, Prabhupada says, that stage when Brahmavadi attains complete perfection, where he sees Brahman, where he identifies himself as Brahman. That means his mind and intelligence are merged in Brahman, although his identity remains individual. His mind and intelligence are merged in Brahman. When he comes to stage, a bhakta comes to a stage where in his heart constantly he is able to perceive the Rasalila of the Lord, the rasa dance of the Lord, or the relationship of the Lord with his friends or with his parents. A devotee is delighting in that rasa. In that platform one can hear the sound of Krishna's flute. One can hear the sound of Krishna's speech. So one comes to a stage where one actually literally lives in the spiritual world, although his material body may be in the material world. One lives in the spiritual world. So for a devotee it's very easy. Why? Now whatever we are doing, the same thing will be practiced in the perfected stage also, even with a greater more clarity. Whereas for Brahmavadi, when he comes to the stage of reaching the Brahman, what happens to him? Then he realizes that now I am Atmaram now, Sukham Akshayam Ashnute, I am experiencing unlimited happiness. Yonta Sukhantararamas, Tatanta Jyotireve. I am in the Brahma Jyoti, I am experiencing unlimited happiness that comes from complete freedom from the entanglement of material world. There is Shanti everywhere, and I am identifying one with the Brahman. But even at that stage, he will have to change his understanding from the Brahma Jyoti understanding to the personality of Godhead. Because he realizes at that stage that the personality of Godhead is the source of Brahman also. That is why Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. From there the bhakti begins, he says. But he becomes a very quick devotee. Like you see Sarvamattacharya. As soon as he got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a few moments he became a pure devotee. Isn't it? Because next day morning when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet him, Sarvamattacharya was getting up from his bed saying, Krishna, Krishna, isn't it? And then Mahaprabhu went in and gave him some prasad of Jagannath Puri. When he gave prasad, even before washing the mouth, Bhattacharya was eating the prasad. And in order to substantiate his act, he was quoting from the scripture. Mahaprabhu asked, what is this? You are a great Brahmana. You are supposed to follow great religious principles of following the standards of cleanliness. How can you eat prasad without washing your mouth or taking bath and performing all the morning duties? Bhattacharya laughed and said, he said, the scriptures say when one gets prasadam, one should immediately honor it without any delay. Because one doesn't know whether next moment one will be alive or not. One should immediately offer the prasad. And one need not see any external standards for that. And he quoted, and Mahaprabhu became so jubilant. He said, oh, that Bhattacharya. And Mahaprabhu felt, this is such a transformation which took place in such a short time. So, Shukadeva Goswami also was a great Brahmagyani and he became a very great devotee of Krishna. Or we can say, he revived his devotional nature for us to learn this lesson of how devotional service reigns supreme. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.